Hey there, and welcome to the Terrence Fisher Podcast. So I want to talk about relationships because I think we're in this time where we're relearning and rediscovering how to navigate relationships in more beneficial ways. And I want to talk about relationships not only in the general sense, but I want to dive into some specific areas that I think are most beneficial when it comes to navigating relationships. So today I want to talk about the question of what does a healthy relationship look like? And I want to look at this in terms of mostly romantic relationships, you know, between significant others and partners. But the principles also apply to all relationships, be it, you know, friend relationships, any type of platonic relationship, be it coworker to employee, church or faith member sort of relationships, any of those type of relationships, I think these principles will apply. So what exactly is a healthy relationship? I mean, this is something that has been a buzzword kind of thing for a while. You know, you should have a healthy relationship. Your relationship should be healthy and all of that kind of stuff. But what specifically does that mean? So let's define what a healthy relationship is first. That way we can all start on the same page and, you know, have this working definition that we all agree on. Now, what I think the definition of a healthy relationship is a relationship between two or more people that is beneficial and that is conducive to the individual growth and fulfillment process. And by individual growth, I mean the growth of the individuals that make up the relationship. Now, of course, this is entirely subjective. A healthy relationship may mean one thing to one person and may mean something completely different to another person. But generally speaking, I think that when we are all talking about healthy relationships, we're talking about relationships that are conducive to the individual growth and the happiness of the individuals in those relationships. So why is this even important? Why are healthy relationships important at all? Why is it something that we need to talk about? Well, I think healthy relationships are important because we have to interact with each other on a daily basis. You know, we live in a relational world where we have to interact with people like our spouses, our significant others, our coworkers, our church members, all of these types of people. And all of these people think and feel and deal with things differently than we do. So if we're going to navigate these interactions successfully, and that is to say to navigate them in ways that are mutually beneficial to the parties involved, then it's extremely important that we learn how to navigate the ins and outs of the relationship so that we can do so effectively. Now, one caveat here is what I sort of mentioned at the beginning is that I believe that the nature of relationships are changing simply because our world is changing and how we interact with each other. And that has a direct effect on how we treat each other and how we deal with each other. So I'm saying that to say that we all have to put ourselves in the sort of learning chair of dealing with relationships, and we have to consistently do that if we're going to be effective at them. So with that being said, I want to talk about three things that I think help produce and induce a healthy relationship. And I think the number one thing that produces and or defines a healthy relationship is how disagreements and disputes are handled in that relationship. And of course, this is where things like communication come in. And the reason I'm putting this kind of at the top of the list, although the other things I think are equally important, but I'm kind of putting this at the top of the list because we live in this time now where, you know, people just easily, very easily let go of relationships for very trivial reasons. You know, we block people on social media. We stop contacting people. We stop doing all of that kind of stuff over things like simple disagreements or different viewpoints. Because people have different viewpoints than us, that means we can't, you know, interact with each other. And in some cases, we have to interact with each other. You know, if you're on a job or something like that and you have a boss or a coworker or whoever that has a different viewpoint than you, and, you know, they're extreme about their viewpoint and you're extreme about yours, you still have to figure out a way to make peace so that the job that you're there to do gets done. And so, you know, that you don't get fired, you know, for having arguments and fights and stuff every day. But again, we're in this time now where people just easily let go of relationships for trivial reasons like that. And this is why I think that, you know, how we deal with these disagreements and differences of viewpoints and perspectives is sort of the number one thing that we need to learn how to do. So how do we do that? How do we learn to better deal with differences and disagreements and viewpoints, differences of opinions and things like that? Well, I think it's a very, very simple yet complex process. I think it all comes down to empathy and learning how to empathize with other people and learning how to see other people's viewpoints and not project your own individual viewpoint on them and validating them as a person and their viewpoint. And in most disputes, most of the time, we fail to do stuff like that. We fail to sort of see the other person's perspective because we're very busy trying to get our point across and trying to prove how we're right about what we're saying and all of that kind of stuff. And we fail to see the other person's point of view. So it really takes putting yourself in the shoes of another person. And I want to be very clear about this. There's always sort of this misconception when things like this are talked about. When you're empathizing with another person and you're putting yourself in their shoes, so to speak, you're not making a declaration about whether or not you agree with them or not. This is not a thing where you're agreeing with another person. When you're trying to understand their viewpoint and put yourself in their shoes, that's not what you're trying to do. The overall objective of doing this is so that you have a fair and thorough understanding of the concepts and all of the things that produce the result of this person's viewpoint. And then maybe at that point, you can at least, at the very least, come to an understanding of saying something like, okay, I still don't agree with that viewpoint or that opinion or that perspective, but I do see how you came to it. And it doesn't make you, you know, dumb or stupid that you reach that conclusion necessarily. Because if I was in your shoes, I may have reached the same conclusion. If I was in your shoes and I had all of the sort of stimuli and all of the environment and the context that you had, it would probably be very likely that I would have come to that same conclusion. So again, you know, empathizing is not a thing where you're trying to agree with somebody's viewpoint necessarily. It's simply putting yourself in their shoes and allowing yourself to gain a thorough understanding of the context and their viewpoint. Now, another thing that I think that helps produce a healthy relationship is how you as a person handle your individual issues and problems. And thinking about how your decisions about those issues and problems affect the other person that you are in the relationship with. So what I mean by this is that we all have our individual issues that arise on individual levels that are sometimes outside of the relationship. You know, for example, you know, we may have had a bad day at our job. We may not be feeling good about ourselves. Whatever the case may be, those are individual issues. And what tends to happen mostly is in some kind of way, the blame for those conditions, whatever they are, tend to be sort of placed on the person that is in the relationship with you, the other person that's in the relationship. So you have a bad day at work, you come home and, you know, maybe your spouse hasn't cleaned the house or washed the dishes or whatever the case may be. And then you start to take that bad day out on that person. Or maybe you're having a day where, you know, you're not feeling your best and you're not feeling good about yourself. You're not feeling confident, things like that. And, you know, you, for example, ask your spouse or your, you know, significant other, how do I look today? You know, what do you think about this? And then that spouse doesn't respond in the way you think they should respond. Then you start to blame them. You start to put the blame on them for your condition. And, you know, over time, what happens is you build up this case of all of these times where you asked a question like that and the response wasn't what you wanted it to be. And then you tend to have this whole case build up that, hey, my spouse doesn't treat me good enough, things like that. So what I mean to say here is that we can't allow our individual issues and problems to affect our relationships. We can't allow those things to creep in and sort of become barriers to having a healthy relationship. We can't put the burden of handling those issues on the other person in the relationship. And again, this is admittedly easier said than done, because I know that we tend to think that, you know, our spouses and significant others are supposed to be this, you know, this sort of hole filler, you know, hole as in H-O-L-E, hole filler, and making us whole as in W-H-O-L-E in these ways. And that just tends to not be the best way to navigate relationships, because what happens if the other person is also expecting the same thing of you? And it could be in any sort of different way, but even imagine if it was the same way, that would be horrific. You know, if you're depending on your spouse to sort of give you an ego boost at a particular time, and then your spouse is also depending on you to give them an ego boost at the same time, then you got a catastrophe going on. And then you have two individuals that have this individual problem or individual issue that needs to be handled on that individual level. Now, again, it doesn't mean that the person in the relationship can't help or can't assist. It simply means that it's not the other person's primary responsibility. Now, the third thing that I want to talk about that helps produce a healthy relationship, and this thing really rivals first place, but I think the third thing is having a safe space to talk and share and be your authentic self. So to talk about what I mean here, I want to talk about a movie and give you a movie analogy. Steven Spielberg's latest movie that he directed, at least at the time of the recording of this podcast, is a movie called Ready Player One. And it's a really good movie if you haven't seen it. The premise of the movie is that there is this time in the future where a guy develops this virtual reality world where you can tap into, you can put on like virtual reality goggles and tap into. And most of the people of Earth have began to spend most of their time in this virtual reality place where they can pretty much be whoever they want to be. They can have any sort of avatar they want to have. You know, if you want to drive a Mercedes Benz, you can. It's really like a video game. So you can be whoever you want to be. Now, the reason I bring that up is because it's analogous to what we tend to do on a daily basis. We tend to navigate our everyday lives with these avatars, with these masks that we put on and that we feel that we have to wear in certain instances. So, for example, you have this hat or mask that you wear at your job. You have another mask or uniform or hat that you wear as a parent, as a mother, a father. You have another one that you wear in your relationship. And over time, what happens is this begins to cover up completely who you authentically are, and your authentic self is never shown. Now, of course, you could kind of make an argument that we all have these sort of multifacets of ourselves, and maybe those are just extensions of who we really are, and that may be the case. But what seems to be more evident is that these masks and hats and avatars that we put on are blocking us from being who we truly are and who we truly want to be, mostly because these avatars are not avatars that we're consciously choosing. They're avatars that are kind of being given to us and kind of being forced upon us by society and other ways as well. And these sort of avatars take on different forms. I mean, even in terms of standards that we feel that we have to live up to, not based off any sort of reason or logic or any sort of conclusion that we've come to necessarily on our own, but just sort of these societal imposed sanctions and standards that we have to live up to. And, you know, some examples of those would be, you know, say for women, you know, having a particular body type, being a certain weight, you know, having a particular hairstyle, being a particular skin color, all of these types of things. And even for men, you know, living a certain sort of way, driving a certain car, having a certain kind of house, all of these kind of things, you know, just become societal imposed ideas and standards that we feel that we have to live up to. And as a result, we begin to play these roles and put on this avatar so that we can at least appear to have some success in those areas. Now, at this point, I'm not necessarily making a judgment about whether or not that's all good or all bad. I'm sure it has its pros and cons as well. But the thing I really want to get to is that we spend so much time in this sort of virtual reality with these avatars that we don't have time to be our authentic selves. And not only that we don't have time, we sort of fear being our authentic selves. So when it comes to relationships and producing and inducing healthy relationships, I think one of the most important things that we can facilitate in those relationships is having that safe space, a really safe space to share and talk and, you know, be yourself and be your authentic self so that you have that time away from those avatars. And what I mean by safe is mostly just this space that's non-judgmental, that's very unassuming, that's very loving and very endearing and very caring and also very trusting. You know, there should be this space where you can feel free to talk about your innermost desires and your personal feelings and your intimate thoughts and feelings and, you know, share some crazy things about your personality and be crazy and just let loose, let your hair down. And I mean that metaphorically and literally, you know, let your hair down, take the makeup off, all of that kind of stuff, and have this safe space in which the person you are in the relationship with is accepting, is loving and caring and non-judgmental and is trustworthy. And I say trustworthy because this space should be just a space that's shared between you and the person that you're in the relationship with and, you know, talks about it, shouldn't be shared outside of that space. It's a space where you can come sort of like a fortress of solitude. And that's a, you know, Superman analogy, if you know that mythology. But just this safe space where you can be free to be who you are and express your innermost thoughts and desires, you know, freely without judgment, without, you know, people assuming that you're crazy and things like that. Just a positive, overall endearing space. And one of the ways that you can do this is purposely set aside, you know, regular time to make this happen, be it daily, weekly, biweekly, monthly, whatever the case may be, but frequently enough so that it's effective. But set aside this space and time regularly for your spouse and, you know, just ask them if there's anything that they want to talk about, anything that they've been thinking about, any goals and dreams that they have that they want to share with you, things like that. And again, this is specifically, I'm talking about romantic relationships, but this is something that's really, really good for all types of relationships, even parent-child relationships. You know, children deal with a lot in schools and stuff, and you never kind of know what's on their mind these days. So it's a good idea to sometimes to sit down with, you know, even your child and say, hey, what's going on at school? What are some things that's happening? How are you feeling about it? You know, are you scared here? Are you, you know, motivated here? Whatever the case may be, and allow them to be their authentic selves rather than putting on that, you know, that soldier attire and armor and feeling like they have to be, you know, the best at all times and, you know, being scared as for punks and things like that, you know, allowing that space to be authentic. But again, set aside time regularly to do this is very important. And, you know, over time, this is something that produces this healthy relationship in a way that you have this, you know, inner connection to another person that they trust you in that way. You're not going out and telling their business and all of this kind of stuff. And it just, you know, brings that closeness together over time. So go out and start putting these things in place. Implement them in your relationship. All three of these principles. Start handling your disagreements and disputes a whole lot better. And think about, you know, your communication and be more empathetic to other people. And, you know, think about how you handle your individual problems and how your decisions about those problems affect the other person that you're in the relationship with. you know, even your coworkers, even just your friends, things like that. And it's very important now that you start setting aside that safe space time to where you can be yourself, your partner, or the person you're in a relationship with can be their authentic selves, and you can sort of form that bond with each other in those ways. And I think that doing these three things is a really, really great start to facilitating more loving and more caring and more healthy relationships.